Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Top of the D Hockey Podcast. It all comes down to this. The England Hockey Men's and Women's Finals Weekend. East Grinstead, Hampstead and Westminster, Surbiton and Wimbledon battling it out for the women's title, with Surbiton aiming to wrestle the title back from East Grinstead after their 8-year dominance was interrupted last season. Surbiton, Hampstead and Westminster, Wimbledon and Old Georgians are going for the men's title, with OGs aiming for a third in a row. Who's going to win it? Well, you probably already know the answer to that, but this was recorded as things unfolded in real time. So without further ado, let's jump into it. The first match of the weekend was East Grinstead, the reigning women's champions, taking on Hampstead and Westminster, who were bidding for their first ever title. For a while, it looked for all the world like East Grinstead were marching on to the final to defend their titles from last year. David Cooper's Hampstead side had the majority of the ball early on, but found themselves behind when Sophie Bray's industry drew a good save from Miriam Pritchard, but the rebound was swept home by Anna Falstich. 4 minutes later, it was 2-0. Bray finished neatly after latching onto an aerial pass into the circle. With 15 minutes to go, things were looking bleak for the side from Paddington Rec, but Holly Hunt produced a lovely finish into the corner to give them a glimmer of hope. They kept on knocking at the door in the closing stages, and with seconds left on the clock, from a penalty corner, they were awarded a penalty stroke after Sarah Robertson's deflection was stopped by Lily Walker's foot on the line. Up stepped Joey Lee under enormous pressure, but she kept her nerve and slotted home from the spot, which took us to a shootout, at which point, enter Miriam Pritchard. As they did in normal time, East Grinstead held a lead in the shootout after misses from Joey Lee and Holly Hunt, but Pritchard came to the fore with a stunning double save, another save, and then an impeccable stick save on her backhand to deny Chloe Brown and win it for her team. The last one, a slight touch at the fullest of full extensions, was, for a goalkeeper like me, an absolute joy to behold. From being seemingly down and out, Hampstead and Westminster had hauled themselves up off the canvas and mounted a comeback that dragged them into the final. Afterwards, I caught up with Miriam Pritchard, the hero of the hour, and let's just say she was still a little bit stunned by it all.
That's quite a finish to that game. What are your thoughts immediately after?
Yeah, I'm buzzing. What a team to be part of.
And, you obviously went 2-0 down. It's a really tough ask to break them down. What was the sort of message going through that to keep yourselves in it?
Stick to the processes, stick to the game plan. We have quite a good mindset when we go 2-0 down. Definitely grows the fire in the belly, so, yeah.
And in the shootout as well, a couple of really good saves, especially that last one. Got a little bit of a stick on it. Just talk us through that.
Hicko always says drive with the leg, so just try to do that, try to stay in it,
And what did it feel like when you knew that hadn't gone in and you'd won it for your team?
Just absolutely buzzing, really proud of everyone.
And looking ahead, is there, someone that you'd prefer to play tomorrow, big final for you?
No, I think we'll see who wins and we'll just focus on us tomorrow, really.
But you've got to be fancying your chances after a comeback like that.
Yeah, why not?
Great stuff. Well, thanks very much. Well played today.
Thank Cheers.
You. Surbiton, the host for the weekend's event, had won the women's title for 8 years in a row before East Grinstead dethroned them and ended their dominance last year. The team from Sugden Road were looking to climb back up onto their perch, and they found their way into the final with a very professional display against Wimbledon. David Beckett's side raced into a 2-0 lead after 21 minutes, and then, thanks to an exemplary defensive performance, kept Wimbledon at bay to secure their slot in the final. A penalty corner from Martha Taylor and an open play goal from Alice Sharp proved to be enough to get the job done. Although Wimbledon enjoyed some bright moments, with Becky Mountain's trickery and willingness to shoot proving to be a constant source of danger, Surbiton did enough going the other way to keep Wimbledon honest, with Sophie Hamilton in particular wowing the crowd with a full range of superb individual skills. In the end, Wimbledon were left frustrated and Surbiton were off to the final to face Hampstead and Westminster. I spoke to Surbiton's Amy Costello afterwards to get her thoughts on the game.
So that's a job done for today. What are your thoughts coming out of that match?
Yeah, really, really pleased with that performance. I think we went 2-0 up quite early on in the game, and then it was very professional as Wimbledon sort of picked up a bit of momentum throughout the third quarter in particular. We kind of held our own and got through that kind of momentum shift and brought it back towards the end.
So was that always the plan, to sort of start first, get yourselves in front and then sort of see where you were?
I think we've got a bit of a history of going down early on in games, so we kind of made it a point before we came in to start really focused and really professionally, and yeah, it kind of showed in the result early on.
I mean, from a defensive standpoint, you've got to be really, really chuffed with that, because, and they created bits and pieces, but you did really restrict them, so you've got to be happy with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think any game you play, the opposition's entitled to their moments, and I think we held them out pretty well, not conceding anything. Amber in goal was solid as well, so yeah, we're feeling pretty confident with the defensive performance.
And I mean, it's a fantastic event looking around the place. Obviously, it is on your home patch. Does that add to the pressure on you in front of the home crowd?
Do you know, I think we're not coming into this title champions from last season, so actually it's all to play for. Pressure's off us, it's just a really good atmosphere to be playing at home. Supporters coming down, family, friends, everyone, so actually it just makes it even more enjoyable. This is kind of the moments that we play for, so no pressure, I don't think. I think it's all just enjoyment. This is, yeah, as I say, what we play for.
No, big game tomorrow. Are you confident of getting the job done, getting that title?
Yeah, I think we've played Hampstead a few times. The game's always been close, been tight, especially in the first half, and they'll be coming off the back of a confident performance this morning. So, yeah, I think we'll have to be focused, recover well tonight, and then, yeah, it's all to play for tomorrow.
That's great. Thanks very much. Best of luck in the final.
Thank you.
Next up, we began the men's competition. The first semi-final was Surbiton versus Hampstead and Westminster. The score might have made it look like it was a routine day at the office, but Surbiton were made to work hard to secure their place in the final with a 4-1 win over Hampstead and Westminster. First half goals from Stuart Rushmere and Tim Nurse put the hosts in control, and although Josh Kelly pulled one back for Hampstead, Gareth Furlong's penalty corner and a strike from Struan Walker ensured that there was to be no comeback in the manner of Hampstead's women. And so it would be a third place playoff for Hampstead and the final for Surbiton. It's always nice to get to speak to podcast star and occasional hockey player Brendan Creed whenever I get the opportunity. So that's exactly what I did after this match.
So scoreline makes it look comfortable, Brendan. What was it, comfortable?
No, it's never comfortable against those guys. I think that realistically, if you don't give away any corners, it stops a lot of their threat. So I think that was the main thing for us, was just to try and limit them to corners, to as few corners as possible. To be honest, I actually thought we played such the game plan really well. Yeah, really proud of the boys' effort more than anything else. It's 60 minutes of hard grafting, warm spring sun.
I mean, you mentioned the game plan. Was the game plan to get your noses in front and then just sort of stifle them, or?
At the end of the day, we have the best corner routine in the country. There's no argument about that. You give us one chance, there's a good chance it's going to be a goal. So from that point of view, unbelievably executed by Luke and Stewie from that point of view. And then after that, teams have got to come and play at us. Well, brilliant. We'll hit them on the counter if we can. But the main part is just more just being clinical. And I thought today we were pretty clinical on that front.
And from a defensive standpoint, a couple of brilliant saves from Mazzarello. What sort of a platform does that allow you to build with someone like him behind you?
It's amazing teams don't even want to draw against us anymore for shootout reasons from that point of view. So I'll be honest with you, that alone is a psychological advantage, let alone how good he is as a goalkeeper. He's a fantastic human. Two, is incredible detail on game plan as well from a defensive point of view. And yeah, and he pulls off saves like he does. I mean, it's an absolute dream to play in front of.
And, big game tomorrow. Not quite sure you're going to play yet, but what would it mean to you to win this title in front of the home fans?
Yeah, I mean, it's what you want, isn't it? At the end of the day, we've been screaming for it to be brought back to the clubs. So for club finals to be in it at home. Yeah, it's a great opportunity, and it's going to be a great game whoever we play against. I think the next semi-final is going to be a brilliant game as well. I think that's the nice thing about our league now, is we've got four or five teams at the top that are all scrapping, and it's all pretty good games. So from that point of view, I'm looking forward to watching it.
Great stuff. Well done today, and good luck tomorrow, mate.
Thanks, Ross.
In the second men's semi-final, Old Georgians remained on course to win the title for the third year in a row after they saw off Wimbledon in a thrilling encounter. OGs had raced into a 3-0 half-time lead with Ed Carson, Tom Carson and a marauding Liam Sanford all getting onto the score sheet. It could have been 4-0 had Alan Forsyth's penalty stroke not been superbly saved by Ore Ogunlana in the Wimbledon goal. Ben Francis pulled one back immediately after the half-time break, and remarkably, Jack Waller then made it 3-2, and the momentum had shifted firmly towards Wimbledon. Sam Hehir fired a low shot into the net to ease the Georgians' nerves, but Wimbledon continued to throw everything at their opponents as they sought another goal. Sam Hooper fired in a penalty corner with 7 minutes to go, but OGs were able to weather the storm, see the game out, and book their place in the final. Old Georgians captain Dan Shingles has spoken to me in the past about his side's relentlessness, and it looked like that came to the fore once again. I caught up with the OG skipper post-match, and this is what he had to say.
So it looked comfortable, and then it didn't. Thoughts coming out of that one?
It's never comfortable playing Wimbledon. It's not. And yeah, we started well, and we did well to go goals up. But we knew it was never going to be straightforward from there, and they showed the quality that they do have, and they changed a couple of things, and they worked a couple of things out. Fair play to them, came back and played tremendously well for the second half, and we had to be on it. And I think the fourth goal for us came at a really, really good time and maybe took a little bit of the sting out of things. But, you know, this is what top-level hockey in England's like. We took our foot off the pedal for a few seconds and they scored two goals, so fair play to them. But, yeah, pretty proud of the guys for being pretty resolute, like we have done all season, really, to come back and probably grind it out a little bit at the end.
And you've got plenty of experience in this group.
Yeah.
How much does that stand you in good stead when you are under a little bit of pressure like that?
Yeah, I think there's so many of us that have been in those situations probably too many times than we'd like to be honest with you. I think we'd probably like to kick on and win that game by a few more goals. But ultimately, yeah, that experience all over the pitch just to kill the game in certain areas. And yeah, some of it wasn't pretty, but I think sometimes that experience and that nous just comes in double handy, and it definitely did today.
And we spoke earlier in the season when you won the indoor, picked up a European medal as well.
Yeah.
And you talked about that relentlessness.
Yeah.
How's that going to come to the fore to go again and maybe pick up another medal tomorrow?
Well, we're going to have to be. Surbiton are a very good team. They're fast, athletic, they attack with real pace. And again, if we're not on it the whole time, then they're going to open us up and they're going to score some goals. So yeah, that relentlessness, you know, it's been a long season for us now. We played a lot of games of hockey and, you know, had to really focus throughout the whole year. But, you know, we're determined and we're fit and we're prepared for this. And so we'll go back, we'll do everything we need to do tonight, and no doubt come back even stronger tomorrow and be ready to take the gold.
Well done today and best of luck tomorrow, mate.
Thanks,
you.
Cheers.
Now our focus switches to the finals and the third and fourth place playoff matches, which took place on the Sunday. First up, East Grinstead took on Wimbledon in the battle for the bronze medal in the women's competition. Not for the first time this season, we wound up talking about the Sussex side's talented young goalkeeper, Izzy Field. She turned heads with some outstanding work in the indoor finals as East Grinstead picked up that title, and once again, she was the hero of the hour in a big game for her side. The teams had drawn 1-1 in a very evenly contested affair. Lily Walker had opened the scoring for East Grinstead 6 minutes after half-time, but Megan Croson's goal, with 9 minutes left on the clock, sent the match into a shootout. There was an element of controversy early on in the shootout. The horn to signal time was up sounded a few seconds into Croson's shootout, and although she scored, a retake was ordered, and the second time around, Field denied the Wimbledon number 14. I asked around the people on the bench and on the technical table as to who'd pressed the button early, but no one was holding their hands up to that one, so I guess we'll never know whose fault that was. But anyway, as I say, Croson had to retake the shootout and Field saved the second time around. Although Nikki Cochran saved from Alex Maltzer, Field denied Jennifer Eady, and East Grinstead went on to win 4-3. There were no real wild scenes like you normally see when a side wins a shootout, which perhaps reflected the disappointment these two teams felt at being so close to the final but not competing in the showpiece match. In fact, in a post-match interview, which you'll hear shortly, Eli Raya did make the point that East Grinstead want to be in those final matches, so perhaps you can see the disappointment coming through and where they were coming from. But anyway, here's what Eli Raya had to say after East Grinstead had secured that third spot.
So, third place secured, a little bit harder than you might have liked. Just your thoughts coming out of that game?
I think proud to turn up, and obviously probably yesterday didn't go to plan as we wanted, and today can't say it went to plan either, particularly going to a shootout, but proud of the girls, the way we fought and kept believing, and doing it on a shootout 2 days in a row. Izzy, our keeper, is a bit of a hero, so made her work.
Yeah, you obviously mentioned her. She's got form for, you know, the indoor as well, stepping up on the big occasion, had a brilliant game in Europe as well. I mean, just how good is it having someone like her in your side?
I think it's amazing. I think what's really nice, she's so young, and she's grown through with confidence, and she's been with us for the last couple of years, and she's just cemented that number one spot now this year. And it's been incredible to sort of see her growth, see her progression. But we're lucky, like, we've got lots of youngsters, and they've all had that sort of this trajectory. So the only shame is that they have to roll off to uni at some point. So I think we're going to lose a couple of them, which is sad for us, but good for them and their hockey journeys.
And you're playing in more and more of these big games as East Grinstead. What does it mean to you to keep being in these end of season finals and, you know, playoff games and stuff?
I think this is what we play for. Once you've done it once or you've had a taste for it, you just want to do it over and over again and challenge yourself. So we love the fact we're here. I think the club's history, the fact that obviously the men have had dominance for years and now obviously they're in a slightly different patch, but the fact that the women have now come through and we're able to perform and sort of be a bit of a light at the moment for that little area down in West Sussex or East Sussex. So it is, yeah, it's special, and we love it. So the support's great.
And, you know, didn't pick up the trophy this time. Does that make you hungrier for next year?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I don't think people expected us to get the trophy last year, if I'm honest. And this year there's probably more pressure riding on us. And yeah, we didn't turn up and play how we wanted to yesterday. So no chance for that. But that's sport and that's what happens. And kudos to Hampstead yesterday. But yeah. Hopefully future years we'll be back in the later game on this Sunday.
That's brilliant. Well played today. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you. Cheers.
Next, it was the turn of the finalists. Surbiton, aiming to regain their crown and climb back up on their perch in front of a home crowd against Hampstead and Westminster, chasing their first title. The hosts trailed after a beautifully taken backhand strike by the league's top scorer, Maddie Ratcliffe. But Surbiton fired back with a well-worked corner routine, which was converted by Leah Wilkinson. And then Alice Sharp edged them in front after another penalty corner. A splendid individual goal from Sophie Hamilton just before full-time made the game safe and sent the title to Surbiton. Surbiton rule the domestic women's game once more. The post-match interview coming up is with Surbiton captain Steph Elliott. And before we listen to that, I just want to provide some context around one of the questions. So during her time at Holcombe, I interviewed Steph more than once after her team had been beaten finalists in this competition by Surbiton. Every single time I asked her for a post-match interview, she'd push the disappointment and sometimes the tears to one side and do the interview. And she was always really polite, really kind and really great with her time, despite it being probably the last thing she wanted to do. So even though she's won plenty of stuff since those interviews, this was the first title she'd won where I was there to interview her post-match. So I wanted to finally get that interview with Steph, the winner. I absolutely love doing this one, and seeing how delighted she is at winning the title was an absolute joy. So anyway, here is that interview.
So, Steph, champions of England, how's that sound?
Yeah, amazing. I mean, maybe a little bit closer than I'd hoped, but I was always confident that we could pull through. I mean, we've got such quality through and through our team, which is just, it's great. You can always rely on it. And we've actually gone 1-0 down quite frequently through the season. Mm. So it's been really good practice for that game there. But yeah, I was confident that we could do it, and it was just great that we pulled through.
And I mean, over the years I've done some interviews with you where you've come out the wrong side of these games. So what does it feel like to finally, with me, be talking about I've won one?
It's, yeah, I mean, literally I think a lot of people know how much I love hockey. It's a little bit sad, really. But this is exactly what we deserve this season, like the hard work we have put in. And that's literally what I said to my girls at the end there. I got everybody in and I said, the nights that we've trained with the horrible weather every week in, week out, we put the hours in. You know, we spend time on video, we're together when we don't even need to be together. And it just creates special bonds and it just creates strengthened teams. And it means that is, like, for me, that is what we deserved at the end of that. So I'm so pleased.
And I mean, credit to Hampstead as well. They gave you a very good game.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, I mean, I literally said this yesterday, you know, through the season, we've played against Hampstead and more often than not, we've come out on top. But anything can happen in one game, and I knew that they'd come out fighting. We knew straight from the off they'd come out hard. So yeah, we were prepared for that, but I think they did a great job.
Another one in the trophy cabinet. Have you got a day off booked tomorrow? Are you going to be having a headache in the morning?
I've just had 3 weeks off with the Easter holiday, so I'm not sure I can really wangle another day off. So I might just be going in with a sore head, but I'm absolutely fine with that.
Sore head and team sunglasses.
Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic. Well, congratulations. Well done.
Thank you so much. Cheers.
Next, it's on to the rest of the men's competition with the third and fourth place playoff between Wimbledon, Hampstead and Westminster. And Wimbledon took the bronze medal and, crucially, a place in Europe next season after a 4-3 shootout win over Hampstead and Westminster. Hampstead will feel it was an opportunity missed as they raced into a two-goal lead inside 15 minutes thanks to Kai Kepler and Matt Guys-Brown. A nicely taken goal by David Condon, wearing a number 64 shirt, which I'll come to in a minute, reduced the arrears in the 27th minute. Wimbledon kept knocking on the door and were left frustrated by some smart goalkeeping from Toby Reynolds-Cottrell in the Hampstead and Westminster goal. With the clock ticking down, Sam Hooper's penalty corner found a way through and we were headed to the drama of a shootout where Wimbledon's goalkeeper, Ore Ogunlana, came to the fore for his side. In a tense environment like a shootout, it was really refreshing to see Ogunlana visibly growing in confidence and, dare I say it, even enjoying himself as the shootout progressed. He was whipping up the crowd after saving from Tom Croson and after standing his ground to draw a foul from Sam French's effort. As the shootout entered sudden death, the Wimbledon goalkeeper swept the ball away from Jolyon Morgan, which allowed Jack Waller to slot in the winner and spark wild scenes as both captain and goalkeeper were mobbed by their teammates. I've got to say, I really rate the Wimbledon goalkeeper. Every time I've seen him play, he's impressed me. Comes out with big saves, he commands his defence, he's really proactive and really aggressive as a goalkeeper. But I never really hear that much buzz around him, which strikes me as a bit unfair. So that's why I asked Jack Waller post-match if he thinks Ore is an underrated goalkeeper. The fact that Waller was slightly taken aback by the question probably tells you how highly he rates him. So anyway, here is that interview with Jack Waller in full.
Yeah, got it done in the end. That must have been quite a game to play in.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't pretty. Not necessarily the game we wanted to play, but testament to the group. We didn't play the first half we wanted, but we galvanised at half-time. We came out and we were the only team going on to win that game. So we're really proud of how we ended up.
And what goes through your mind when a big game like that goes to a shootout?
I'm taking a shootout, I'm scoring. I had a lot of confidence in Ori. We've obviously worked on it in training. He's proven over the past few years that in those moments he steps up, so had a lot of confidence. We said as a group we're just going to commit to our shootout, whatever happens, happens. And we went out and delivered that, so yeah, really proud.
I mean, you're right to mention Ore, your goalkeeper. Is he the most underrated goalkeeper in the Premier League?
I've not given it a lot of thought. I think in our group he's so highly rated, I'm not sure I call him underrated. Maybe outside the group, I don't think people realise quite how good he is. And to be honest, when he came in this season, I knew how good he was, but I didn't realise quite what level he can get to. And he's only getting better and better and better, so we're so lucky to have him. And I look forward to seeing him playing for us in Europe next year.
And he's a big character and he stepped up in the big moments, didn't he?
That's it. And it's not just on the pitch, also off the pitch. He brings everyone in. He's a lot of fun, and we're very lucky to have him. Yeah.
And you mentioned Europe as well there. I mean, how important not only is it for the pride to get the third place, but to get yourselves that spot in Europe next season?
Yeah, 100%. Last year we had, unfortunately, we were in the third, fourth playoff, and there wasn't much riding on it, but it's nice to play in games that matter, and Wimbledon should always be in Europe, in my opinion. So it's nice we're back, and it's about time we have a good run in that competition.
Well, well done today. Congratulations.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
Before we move on to talking about the men's final, I did mention in that last section before we listened to Jack Waller's interview that I'd tell you about David Condon's playing shirt. The eagle-eyed amongst you, or the, you know, very geeky like me amongst you, will have noticed that Condon wasn't wearing his normal number 11 shirt with his name on the back. He was rocking a number 64 shirt, making it look like he was a lad that had been called up from the third 11 on the morning of the game. Having spoken to Condon himself afterwards, I can confirm that one of his teammates hid his playing shirt while he was getting changed, causing the team manager to register him on the official team sheet as the only spare shirt they had knocking around, which was that number 64. Obviously, Condon was given his shirt back just before the match started, but as the team sheets were set, Dave Condon had to rock the number 64 shirt rather than his usual one. So a little quirk for those of you that may have spotted it and may have been wondering why. It's good to know that Premier League and the top teams and players in the country are just as childish as the rest of us on a match day and happy to stitch their teammates up. So yeah, that's that little mystery solved. I'm sure I was probably the only person that cared about it. But there you go. And so it comes down to the last game of the season, the crescendo of the domestic campaign. Old Georgians going for their third title in a row, the home side Surbiton standing in their way. After winning the domestic indoor title, the domestic outdoor title for the regular season, and a bronze medal at the European Hockey League, Old Georgians just needed this title to complete a truly remarkable campaign. Despite falling behind to an excellent early goal from Struan Walker, OGs came back with a goal in each of the second, third and fourth quarters to silence the home crowd and send the pocket of their own fans into an absolute frenzy. Lee Morton bagged the equaliser, and at 1-1 the game was in the balance. Surbiton had a glorious chance to go back in front from the penalty spot, but Luke Taylor's effort was kept out by George Pinner. The goalkeeper, who'd been getting quite a bit of stick from the home fans behind his goal, was more than happy to turn around and shush them after saving a crucial moment in the match. Shades of the Commonwealth Games in 2014 in Scotland, for those of you geeky enough like me to remember George Pinner silencing the crowd there too. Dan Shingles converted a superbly worked penalty corner to make it 2-1, and then James Carson put the game to bed with a splendid close-range finish. Old Georgians put the gloss on their incredible season with a third league title in a row, a 3-1 win over the host Surbiton, and it was party time for the Old Georgians. Just before things got going for them, I managed to collar Alan Forsyth for a quick post-match interview, and despite Sam Ward shouting various things in the background like Iron Brew and doing an appalling Scottish accent, both of us managed to focus on the interview long enough to get it done. Here's what Alan had to say.
Champions of England, how does that sound?
Yeah, it sounds pretty good, to be honest. I think we've had a really good season. I think if you were to turn around and say you win indoor, you'll qualify for Europe, you'll win a bronze medal in Europe, and then you'll win the league, and then you'll win the playoffs, I think you'll be sort of snapping your hands off at the start of the season. Especially, like, I was probably going into it a little bit, but I think we've had three main players who, I think, if any team in England, maybe even Europe, miss that, it's tough, you know, Albs, Wardy, Kyle, so it's really good, you know, we can do the job the way we have, and it just shows you how good we are and the experience we are.
And you mentioned, you know, the amount of stuff you've won this year. Was that like a target going into the season that we want to win as much as we can, we want to win everything?
Yeah, I think if anything, we're a team that we want to win every match, we want to win every tournament you're in. I think it's obviously hard to do, and, you know, we're not going to go through without losing, so But the main thing is, you want to win everything you're playing, and the experience and the boys we've got, we know we can do it.
And you yourself, a former Surbiton player, coming back here, is that tough playing against them here?
I think because I went to Holland for 2 years, it probably made it easier. I've got a lot of close friends still, and still speak to a lot of people in the club, but I'm now an OGs player, so I'm here to win for them and get the job done like we did today.
And have you got training or anything tomorrow, or are you having a bit of a lay-in after tonight?
I'm pretty sure I'm going to have some fun tonight. I've got the day off.
Fair play. Congratulations, mate. Well done.
Thank you very much.
And so that's it. The curtain comes down on the domestic season at the top level, and old Georgians and Surbiton ride off into the sunset with each of the respective trophies. And looking forward to next season already. Can anyone challenge Georgians and stop them from having yet more dominance? Is this to be a new era of dominance from the Surbiton women, or will someone emerge from the pack and knock them back off their perch as East Grinstead did last time around? Will that happen next season? We haven't got long to wait. We have got the small matter of Pro League and then the Olympic Games to enjoy before that happens, and I'm sure I'll be back with some podcasts around those events in the not too distant future. As always, thank you for listening, thank you for tuning in. Everyone that listens is really, really appreciated. If you want to read any of the content that I've posted over this weekend, you can visit my website, which is thetopofthed.com. If you want to find out what I'm saying on social media, my Instagram is at thetopofthed. My Twitter is at the top of the D, and my Facebook is also at the top of the D, so you can find me on there as well. Anyway, thanks again for listening. Until next time, enjoy your hockey, and we'll see you again soon.